And good afternoon. It is Thursday, May 31st, the last day of May. Oh my goodness. And we are having so much fun. I can't even tell you how much I love the guest we have, and he's lucky. We're lucky enough to get him for both hours today, talking about the Roseanne situation last hour. But this hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about comics in general, because when you look at it, Roseanne is obviously having her issues right now. Really, and I loved her, but Phyllis Diller had a lot of plastic surgery. Joan Rivers, same thing, a lot of plastic surgery. Richard Pryor lit himself on fire at one point. There have been some tragedies in this very funny business. Milton Berle talked about a stage mother who was very abrasive. He loved his mother, but she was a stage mother. Lucy was not a funny person off the stage. Was in a bad marriage to Desi Arnaz. It's interesting when you look at this business of comedy, and no better person to discuss that with than, he's my favorite guest without question. Tuesdays with Maury. Well, we have Thursdays with Shecky here on WWGH Radio. Shecky Green, how are you?
Boy, I really appreciate that. Can I tell you something? I only want to talk to you.
Well,
I don't want to talk to anybody
well,
else.
Wife,
I want a divorce. Okay.
No, I honest to goodness, and this is the truth, and I tell everybody around here this. It's coming. Radio and television, you know, sometimes it's very hard to laugh at that, but you are so spontaneous, so funny, entertain me so much, and yet we get a lot accomplished in these sessions. Everything I say is true. So there, I wanted to pass that along.
You know, I was thinking about when you say about our Roseanne. Let's call her our Roseanne. Let's take her to our bosom, and let's be friends with her, okay?
I'll try.
I don't know whether you got to tweet her or not. Tweet her and say, you know, Shecky loves you and I love you, you know, and stop all the stuff you're doing and we love you. All right.
I can tweet. Roseanne has actually responded to my tweets. I think she's on there quite a bit. You want me to tweet her a message from you?
Yeah, tweet her and tell her, listen, I'm behind you and I'm also, if you look good, I'll be in front of you too. You know, but just brush this off, and it's very difficult. Brush it off and just look for tomorrow. Forget about yesterday. Look for tomorrow, and with people like us, and I mean us, meaning crazies, we can help each other.
Well, you know what's sad about this whole situation? I was thinking during the break, when we're talking about Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, Lenny Bruce. They all had big trouble in their life, but yet they were some of the claimed to be. I mean, they're ranked up there as some of the funniest people ever.
Oh yes.
So, do you have to have tragedy to have comedy?
No. Well, we got the two things. We got the comedy and tragedy. You know, that makes show business. But I don't know why. That's a very interesting thing. I keep on writing these things down about what I'm going to talk to you about the crazies and the things in show business. And I think about the word crazy. It's a terrible word. The word insane, it's a terrible word. There was a movie called Arsenic and Old Lace. Do you remember that picture? No, you're too young for that picture.
No, I remember it. I watch TMC.
Okay, that's one of the great pictures, because in that picture, there were two old ladies who were poisoning the guys that came to the house, you know? And Cary Grant was in the movie, Peter Lorre was in the movie, Raymond Massey was in the movie, James Gleason, Josephine Hull was one of the ladies. Anyway, the two old ladies, when they would see somebody, they'd say, he's pixelated. Get this word, pixelated. Now, instead of saying he's crazy or he's nuts, he's pixelated. Well, that was sort of a cute word. So I said, from now on, I was writing this down to talk to you, and I said, why should we call each other crazy or she's crazy? She's pixelated, which sounds like a very loving, does it sound that way? A very loving word, but we know she's nuts.
Well, here's the question I have, Shecky. How far do you live from El Segundo?
I don't even know. El Segundo?
Yeah, El Segundo is where Roseanne's production company is.
I went to El Segundo to look for Roseanne. I had a special kind of a plan. I couldn't find it. I ran out of gas. So Roseanne, when her friendship can't last, I can't find El Segundo. Okay.
you can just get in the car later on today and drive over to her production company. Which is run by her first husband, by the way.
Let's see, the first husband, was he the first husband, Tom?
No, the first husband was a guy named Jake Pentland.
Jake who?
Pentland, P-E-N-T-L-A-N.
She married a Gentile, huh?
She did. But at least she gave him a
job.
He
found this guy in a meatpacking company.
Well, you know, Shecky, isn't there something about this? She gave her first husband a job with her production company. We wouldn't even know Tom Arnold if it wasn't for Roseanne.
Tom Arnold was a meatpacker, and he was a bouncer in a nightclub.
You know,
I mean, and she educated. He said it, and I believe it. Any education he's got, she gave to him.
Yeah,
you know.
So he was defending her.
He was in a way defending her, in a way he wasn't, because he said he expected her to get thrown out and everything else. He really didn't know which way to go when they were talking to him. He wanted to compliment her, which he did in a way, and he wanted to put her down in a way.
Do you think that we do lead private lives in this country, and we do have freedom of speech? Now, for as bad as what she said was, should they have done this to her show and all the people, all the cast, all the crew? Was there any way to fix this?
Yes, just let everybody shut up, stop talking to each other for a week, and then go back to work. It wasn't that. They brought it out, this salacious comment, and they brought it out, and they made so much of it. And one of the things that made it so big was Trump. That she said that they're like a Trump family, you know?
Well,
and that's what made it big, because he's in everything.
Well, why do people who are funny, Carol Burnett had some tragedy in her life. Jerry Lewis broke up with Dean Martin.
I've got that all written down. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You're on. That's right.
Yeah, Jerry Lewis and his 10 years of not talking to Dean Martin, and a lot of wives and a lot of kids, and didn't leave his kids anything in the will.
I was friendly with Dean Martin, and we were partners in a hotel, and I did 10 shows with him, and we said 3 words to each other. So not too many people talk to Dean Martin. Hey, I want to tell you something. Hey, how are you? Everybody loves my Jerry Lewis, but we broke up long ago. Okay.
And Milton Berle had this overprotective mother. He loved her, but she was a
Sophie,
stage.
Yes.
She was a stage mother. And Richard Pryor lit himself on fire. my God.
Let's write a song. Richard Pryor's on fire. You better put it out. He's on the stage, and he's beginning to shout, "Oh, it's burning!" And oh, it hurts. let me tell you, when you talk about humor, they even make the clown sad. Think about it in a circus. The clown is always crying.
Well,
you know?
The two that I interviewed who I thought were well-adjusted were Joan Rivers and Roseanne. They seem to have regular, not Roseanne, ooh, Freudian slip there. Joan Rivers and Phyllis Diller. Phyllis Diller was on this show 35 times, but she had a ton of plastic surgery. She seemed, in a way, you know, there was some...
I loved Phyllis Diller. She and I were very, very close friends.
But she always seemed a little insecure. About
she was sure she was insecure. If you looked like that, then you had to fix up yourself. That's why she put on the kind of dresses and gowns that she wore and everything else, you know. Well, it gave her that character.
Well, it's interesting because Phyllis did that first, then Joan Rivers did it. Roseanne had a lot of plastic surgery.
Well, I mean, everybody in Hollywood had. Are you kidding? There's one doctor who made it, the plastic surgeon made house calls. And while he was there, he painted your house. As long as you look good, I might as well paint your house.
Phyllis used to say doctors used to follow her around.
She was a funny and wonderful lady.
Wonderful.
I saw her do her first show. I told you that before.
Yeah, at the Purple Onion.
Purple Onion with the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah.
I like to smother one of the brothers.
Well,
Tom is a good friend of mine. The other kid I'd like to smother.
Well, you know what's interesting? See, more problem.
Mean kid.
Well, see, there we go. More trouble. And I think about even the people who were thought to be wholesome. We now know about Bill Cosby and Robin Williams committed suicide. It's horrible. I don't know. Have you ever? Let's go from this point of view. Did you ever meet a comedian who was famous, hugely famous, like you were, who was well adjusted?
Yeah, I'm sure I met a lot of them. Sure.
I mean,
if you want to take little things that people do, Bob Hope was cheap, you know. I mean, what made him cheap? He had all the money in the world, you know?
Well,
I mean, you want to find little things with everybody you can.
Well, they say Carson didn't like to talk to people.
Well, Carson, the farther his career got, the more, I don't know what it was, the more it's back away from people. He wasn't a very out person. Johnny was not a happy man.
Well, and what he did to Joan Rivers, he was definitely a Bella Boss.
You mean when Joan Rivers was going to get the show?
Yeah, and he set out, he never spoke to her again. Cut her off, hung the phone up on her.
Well, could I tell you something? She's lucky she didn't get the show. She shouldn't have ever had a show. When they start giving those women those shows, they're ridiculous.
Well, here's the question. This is the chicken and the egg, and it all goes back to Roseanne, but all these other people as well. Phyllis Diller, Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, Robin Williams, all these other people. Chicken and the egg. If they had not become famous, would they have these problems?
Well, some of them would have had the problems, but you never would have heard of them. You know, some of them would have just committed suicide, you know, and then with Richard Pryor, they just would have put him and let him burn, you know. So, he didn't mean anything to anybody.
Well,
but, I mean, it's just, how about Red Fox? Red Fox, who had this wonderful career on television and everything else, and he died broke.
Yeah.
Married a Korean girl, and she was from North Korea. That's the find we found out.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, and he died on the set of a television series. Had a heart. There's another tragedy.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of tragedy. Now, I do...
I'm afraid to talk to you now. Honey, could you get my thermometer? Oh, come on.
Well, you know, I'm trying to think of people who are well... Seinfeld, we haven't heard much out of him being...
I have no idea. I once went up to Seinfeld, and I'm Shecky Green, and he ran away. That's the only comment. It was on the street. That's the only comment that I can make about him. But I don't know if I would have liked him, because my friends managed him. You know,
well, you know.
George West and West and whatever his name, Shapiro. But and even in that case, nobody ever asked me to do this. It's funny in my career. Nobody ever asked me to do their show.
Roseanne did.
Huh?
Roseanne did.
Oh, but I mean, take a look. Two lines.
Well, yeah, that's...
I mean, and then they gave me... The things that they gave me... You know, I made $100,000 a week in Vegas.
Right.
And I could say that because I never saw a check.
Where'd they go?
Well, there was one table right after I got paid, and then there was Keno. I played Keno, and somebody said, "Why don't you watch the Chinese people?" You know, and I walked up to a Chinese guy and said, I says, "Will you teach me how to play Keno?" He says, "Why?" Because he was squinting his eyes looking at the board. I said, "You're Chinese." "I'm not Chinese. I got this way from looking at the board." But that's an old joke.
It's interesting because times don't change. People still have the same problems. Once you become famous, I guess maybe that's it. It's not the mental illness. It's not that. It's this Bella Boss. You named it. I'm the boss. If Roseanne,
I'm the Bella Boss. Don't tell me what to do.
Right. If Roseanne had not become a success, if Bill Cosby had not become a success, would they have been this way in regular life?
Very interesting. But in some respects, yes. Maybe not that way, not exactly that way, but in some respects, right. Because Bill was a very intelligent man, and Bill would have gone into something, you know.
You know, who would have thought? I mean, honest to goodness, here we are in 2018. Bill Cosby's going to go to prison in the next 2 months.
Oh, God.
And we've got Roseanne is now pulled off television for being a racist. And this is the world we now live in.
Hey, I got a good idea. Let Bill Cosby send the pills to Roseanne.
Do you think Bill might have a... is that mental illness that he has?
Oh, God, yes. And his ego. Are you kidding? Such an ego.
Well, why did he... Was it common knowledge he was doing this?
When what?
Was it common knowledge he was doing this?
Common knowledge it was doing with the pills?
Yeah.
Not that I know. I mean, I knew him, but I didn't know that. Maybe Hugh Hefner knew, because Hugh Hefner was very close to him.
You know what's funny? The only person, and I used to have him on the show a lot, and he lived to be, I think, 102. I loved him, was the Professor Irwin Corey.
You mean Irwin? Irwin talks like this. He says, "I'm going to tell you, Bill Cosby takes pills." I went to the washroom the other day. He went into his pocket. The pills fell out.
Now, Irwin, when Irwin used to come on the show, see, but I think he was smart because he said, "I was blacklisted. I was communist. I smoke marijuana. I do all these things." And he lived to be 102 and nobody bothered him.
Well, I tell you, he lived with me for 3 weeks.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and the only thing I can tell you, I never had a towel. He used to wake up in the morning and take the towels. So, you want to put him in the category?
Well, I don't know. You know, he was a little different, I'll say that. I liked him. He was different, though.
Oh, I loved him. Let me tell you, he wanted to see me work at the Fontainebleau in Miami. So, he comes in, and I get him a nice seat and everything else. And then I introduce him in the middle of the show, and he stands up. Now, listen to what I tell you. He says, "I thought you were good. I think you stink." He said that in front of the whole crowd. Well, I fell down laughing. And I tried to explain to the audience who that was. And they said, and another guy yelled, "He's right." He had a brother in the back. "He doesn't want to tell you he's right."
Well, you know...
Can I tell you something? You look back at all of these things, and they're funny. We're going to look back at Roseanne tomorrow and laugh and say, "What does she want?
What does she do it?" Well, you know
what does she want? Just stop it already. I mean, this is going to go on.
Well, I'll tell you, one comedian who did very well at one point in his career. Well, his career spanned a long time, but he always got a bad rap later in life. But was always very good to me. Had no pretense. Was Dick Gregory.
Oh, I was a very big friend. Not a fan, but I was a friend. Dick Gregory and I were very good friends. He gave me tea to lose weight. I'll never forget that.
He could put...
We went to dinner one day, and he just handed me tea.
You know, one of our producers around here about got beat up by Dick Gregory's security one time.
Well, he was very much into the racial thing, you know, and rightly so. I mean, at that time with all of those people, because I would have marched also in Memphis or wherever they marched,
well,
you know, but my feet were bad.
Well, it wasn't Dick's fault. Kent State was having their 40th commemoration, and we were there, and Dick had been on the show, and he was the guest speaker, and he only came with one security guard, I think, not even security, just to keep people away. And I had went up to the security guy, and I said, hey, you know, Dick said we could do an interview with him. And he said, oh, Dick's got to get to the airport. We can't do that. So I walked over to him, and I just wanted to say, hey, Mr. Gregory, just wanted to say hello. And he said, start doing the interview. While I'm signing the autographs, just turn on the recorder. Let's start doing the interview. So I do that, and boy, that security man started giving me the evil eye and chewing out the producer, saying, I told you he had to go to the airport. What are you doing? But that Dick was a nice man.
No, Dick was a very nice man. I knew Dick was when he was at his regular weight.
Well, he told me a joke one time that I think is the funniest joke in the world. He said during all that political stuff, he said his phone lines were tapped. And he said, there's a good way to find out if your phone lines are tapped. He said, if you haven't paid the phone bill in 6 years and the phone's still on, your line's tapped.
Your line is what?
Your line is tapped. If you didn't pay the bill...
My dog barked right on the punchline.
A Dick Gregory fan. Your dog's a Dick... But he always...
Marie! I gotta shoot my dog.
No, this is what's going out in your neck of the woods.
Oh, God. My wife let her in here. That's the funny part. I gotta... Wait, let me go get my dog, because my dog, that's her, my treat bark.
Okay.
I'm ready for a treat.
We're going to give the dog a treat here. And
as I told you once before, that's not my dog, that's my cat. She does impressions. Look at that. My wife never came in.
She sabotaged you.
I don't know why she left that dog in there.
What kind of dog is it?
It's a Havanese.
A Havanese?
A Havanese is a dog from Havana. And this dog came over from Havana by inner tube.
That could have been Fidel Castro's dog.
Yeah, Castro did have one of these dogs.
He did. He loved those Havanese.
The first one in Europe to have one was Queen Victoria.
Really?
Yes. She had a Havanese.
Now, do you think, as we talk...
Yes.
I'm with you. I got it. So there are well-adjusted people, but does the business, when you're making the kind of money you were making and you're up on stage and people love you and they want your autograph and you've just come from normal life, does that change you? Does that make you kind of unstable?
Scott, I'm going to tell you a little story. Money never changed me, or nothing changed me. I didn't even change my clothes at that time. But money never, because I never wanted to see a check.
Now, why was that?
Because I just didn't want to see a check. The same thing I was doing for $10 a week, I was doing for $100,000 a week.
With the world going mad now, with the president we have and all this, do you ever get the urge to go out and perform?
Well, I would like to, but I can't walk. My leg and my hips are gone.
But you know, people sit on... Bill Cosby was sitting those last few... He just walk out and sit.
And so did Rickles, too.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, but I used to do so... I used to be so physical. I used to run around that stage and I'd fall down. You know, now if I fall down, it takes five... I got five guys in the band. I got to hire another five guys to pick me up. Because the other guys are on a union.
Well, you know, we have about 22 minutes left here, and I want to make sure to get this in because it's become our hallmark now. And talking about Bella Bosses here, and we just learned last week when we spoke that there's going to be a movie on HBO pretty soon, My Dinner with Irvé, and that's going to be a major hit.
Yeah, you told me that, and I can hardly wait to see. It's only going to be a 16 millimeter, right?
Oh, a very short film.
Who would make a picture about Irvé? I would you introduce me to the insane man that's doing that?
Pretty soon it'll be my Breakfast with Roseanne.
Oh, no, yeah.
You wouldn't like to be in that?
It'll be called "I Was Canned with Roseanne." It was an ABC plan. She said the wrong thing one day, and before she knew it, they took her away. She went to John Goodman, and he said, "Don't look at me." And he went to the other people, and they said, "We don't want to be." That's Hallmark, 796-231.
Oh, my God. Pick up the film. It's going to be something. You know, I'm looking here on the internet, and there are pictures of this guy dressed as Hervé Villechaize. He's got a Hawaiian shirt on.
Oh, they got a little guy.
Yeah, got a little guy. Ricardo Montalban is being played by Andy Garcia.
Yeah, you told me.
Yeah, oh, that's... When is this film coming out? Why, the guy who is doing it is the guy who's playing Hervé. His name is Sasha Gervaisi.
Oh, so it's got to be some guy with an ego. Since everybody's been telling him how he looks like Hervé, so he's doing that.
I guess. Well, it's in production right now. I've learned that. My Dinner with Hervé. A new film on the way, My Dinner with Hervé. Isn't that going to be exciting?
Yeah, but they're going to have everything. Miniature cupcakes, miniature shrimp.
But you could tell him what he's really like.
I'm trying to figure out if he had funny clothes. No.
Did he have a good side at all?
Where was he from originally?
Hervé?
Yeah.
You know what? I am not really sure where he was from. Let me look that up here.
We got to find out.
We got to find out because I don't know. But I do know that this film is coming soon. So you have to mark this down on your calendar. You'll be watching this, won't you?
I wouldn't miss it.
It's going to be on HBO. It's going to be a big deal. Let's see. Where was Hervé from? It's about his last days.
Well, his last days were bad.
Yeah, well, let's see. It was filmed last year.
He went nuts. Well, but he was nuts altogether, but he went nuts.
He finally lost it.
With the gun.
He went crazy. Let's see here. We're going to find out. We're trying to figure out where Hervé Villechaize was from.
Oh, South America someplace, I think.
Here we got. He was a French-born actor.
French?
Yes. Here's what it says. It says, was a French-born actor and painter of English and Filipino descent. There you go. And he got...
English and Filipino descent.
And he achieved worldwide recognition. He was the evil henchman, Nick Knack, in the James Bond film, The Man with the Golden Gun.
Well, the Filipinos had to be in there someplace. I had one that destroyed me.
Well, you have to... He was Nick Knack.
Nick Knack.
Nick in the James Bond film, The Man with the Golden Gun.
How come I never saw that?
Well, that was in 1974. Let's see, who was playing James Bond at that time? Oh, Roger Moore, the original.
Oh, so I only saw the other ones.
You have to look. He got hit. He had a major part. He was Nick Knack. That was a dwarf, manservant, and accomplice. Okay. He would be a good villain, though. They cast him right in that.
Oh, yeah, he was a villain. Yeah, because he kept that gun loaded. We used to think it was a joke. It wasn't no joke.
Well, tell me,
we said one day, what happened to the assistant director? I don't know. He took lunch with Villechaize. He hasn't come back. He never did come back.
Tell me what this James Bond film... with Hervé Villechaize as the villain, must have sounded like.
I want to tell you, I want all you people against the wall, and the first one to make a move, I'm going to kill. I'm going to kill you without making a move. Wait a minute, I want to talk to the director. You gave me too many lines, I can't remember all of the lines, don't do that to me.
We're going to send you back to France. Je ne coupe les causes, mais ce qui complique va.
You know, it is. You could not get away with that today, calling him Nick Knack. He was a little person.
Oh, calling him what? You couldn't get away?
Yeah, they called him in that movie. His name was Nick Knack.
Nick Knack, yes. And if you dropped him, he broke. He was like, yeah. But the little people, yeah, that's I joined a group of midgets, a lot of the midgets from Wizard of Oz, Billy Barty and people like that. And I belonged to that. I was an honorary member, and we called it the little people. I was very honored. They got up and they worked with me in the lounge one day. They were wonderful.
But Hervé was not a nice one.
No, I wouldn't have invited Hervé on the stage, no.
Well, here's something.
Could you see Irving trying to sing? My name is Irving. I'm going to sing Happy. Oh, say, can you see? Bernie Dorland, I can't sing that song.
Oh, my.
Roseanne and I, we can't sing that song. Oh, say, can you see?
Oh, before we run out of time, for people who haven't heard it, it's the funniest talk show story in the world. The time Shecky Green was going to be on Fantasy Island, tell us what happened.
Well, I was a little late, as I am for all my shows. I mean, I only do 3 minutes in the shows, but evidently they don't like me, so they don't ask me to come until a minute before the show. Anyway, I come on the set, and they're all waiting for me. They're all mad. And the little guy says, I want to tell you something. You made everybody wait for you. Do you know that? I says, yeah, okay, thank you. I'm sorry. You know. So then Ricardo and I are very good friends. Hello, Ricardo. Hello, everybody. And I sit down, and a woman comes up to me. Her name was Katie, I think. We found out. And she says, Shecky, would you like a cup of coffee? I says, oh, my God, that's very, very nice of you. And he came up and said, I want to tell you something. That's my wife. You talk to her again, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to shoot you. You understand? That's my wife. This gorgeous, beautiful girl. I says, my God, what world is this? I want to get into this world. And I heard the music, la da da.
Now, Ricardo calmed it all down, though. Because
Ricardo came out and said, Shecky, I want to tell you something. Don't worry, he's a little crazy, but he said, he's all right, he's a little crazy. I said, but he's got a gun. He said, oh, then you got to look over. When he's got the gun, you got to look out.
Just to spend a few minutes on our other favorite subject here, Ed Sullivan, I was reading that he was very forgetful. And Mo Howard of the Three Stooges recalled that in 1975 that Sullivan introduced them as the Three Ritz Brothers.
I did that one time with the Mills Brothers.
You called them the Ritz Brothers?
I call them all, no, such as the Ink Spots. I did that at the MGM. My God, thank God somebody else made a mistake. He called them the Ritz. Well, you can make that mistake. You know.
Well, but Paul McCartney said that he met Sullivan, and Sullivan had no idea who he was, and McCartney tried to remind Sullivan that he was one of the Beatles, but Sullivan could not remember. You knew him at the end. Did he have a little problem?
Oh, yeah, I was with him at the end. He had a big problem. I mean, he said to me that Sylvia and I were going to have dinner, and she died, you know, 5 years before that.
Oh, so that was legitimate.
What?
That he was really gone toward the end.
Oh, yeah, he was a little off of it. He said, Shecky, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get another show, and I'm going to make you big, really big. As well, I was on your first show, and you made me small, really small.
You were on the first Ed Sullivan?
No, I was on the beginning of all those shows, you know.
Did he get better as the years went on?
No, he was a character. He was, you know, the wonderful thing about television is if you got to get a personality, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, and that's what people get familiar with, the personality. That's what sold the Roseannes and the people like that. And the Seinfelds, although Seinfeld had great, wonderful people with him, magnificent people.
He did. Now, let's look ahead to the future here. What's going to happen with this whole Roseanne thing? It's going heavy right now. But next week, Will it be over? Will ABC have forgiven her? Will she go? What will happen?
No, it'll be over. It'll just be dropped off. That's the end of her.
Now,
there may be big flashes in the Inquirer that Roseanne's going to do another show and Rosa, but that won't happen.
You don't think possibly maybe another network would pick?
No, not another network wouldn't take a chance.
Now, what do you think? This coming fall, we just recently learned that, because Roseanne was a reboot, that CBS is rebooting Murphy Brown. Do you think that show will go?
Well, not the way she looks now. She's sort of puffy. beautiful, magnificent lady. You know what? I think it'll go for a while. I think they're anxious to see what she looks like and what kind of shows. Yeah, it'll go for a little bit, but it'll not be a big success.
Now, what about the
quote me on that, and don't tell it to her, though, please.
She's a little puffy, and it will not be a big success. What if she's able to get the puffiness down before the fall?
Oh, she'll get those. They're working on that now. Are you kidding? I know 22 guys right now. They're thrown around in Hollywood. Hey, Joe, it's your time. Catch her by the shoulders. Okay, Harry.
Oh, my. Well, Roseanne, what about the reruns? They're being pulled right now off Netflix and all these places. Will her reruns survive?
No.
It'll all be gone.
No, they're talking. See what they're doing now with the press. They're talking to people out of her, off of her. The only way she can make a comeback if Trump comes and becomes her husband. She divorces Goodman and marries Trump.
Well, do you think Trump will be able to save her? Because he's defending.
Oh, if they get married, yeah, sure.
Well, is Roseanne currently married? I think she might be.
I thought she was.
Yeah, I think she
is. But could you see Trump handing her $130,000?
Well, you know, what is President Trump going to do when he's out of office?
Run like hell. Get out of town.
I mean, what will he do as an ex-president? Will he be able to... Some people thought he was going to start his own network.
No. He's going to be finished with that, but he's got all the property, and he'll go to Moscow and build that hotel.
You know,
because I saw him, he was buying fur hats and growing a mustache. Drogi majiska, drotki, drotki is going to get Putin. Putin's his camarade. Yeah, hobots. God, I'm crazy.
I love it. Before all this Roseanne hysteria, were you hoping that maybe next season they would revive Uncle Saul?
Uncle Sal, without that, can't be revived. Every day I got out of bed, I said, "This is it." You know, I go to every church, every temple, everything that I see to just make a prayer. At the Catholic Church, I just can't get the candle. Somebody's gave me one of those funny candles, you know, that burns out.
How'd you spend Memorial Day weekend?
What did we do Memorial Day? My wife made something special. She cooked something special.
A food?
Yeah.
Do you go and put something at the tombstones?
No, but I'll tell you what. In all God's... Oh, God's presence, I would love to. I should really do that. Because every time I think about these people and these guys and everything and what we go through, how we make their life miserable even now, you know? Trump wants to have them walk down the street in New York because he likes parades. That's another job to give them, you know?
I think they're doing that on the 4th of July. We've never had that before.
I don't know. Are they really?
That's what I heard.
Oh, no. No. He's a moron.
How's your brother?
My brother, not too good.
That's too... How old is
still laying on the floor in Milwaukee. Nobody. I got to call him to pick him up. They sent $50 for him to be picked up.
How old is your brother?
My brother is 2.5 years older than I am.
Oh, 95?
Yeah.
Wow. Has he always lived?
He taught me every dialect I know.
Really?
Yep.
Is he still with it?
No, he can't talk or he can't hear.
Oh, that is a shame.
Now yes, it is a shame because he was a very clever man.
And he broke his leg the same day you did.
Yeah, he broke his hip.
Broke his hip. And yep. your leg.
I gotta call him and tell him my ear is bothering me.
How is your leg coming along? We always worry about
not
that.
Good.
Not good.
Not good. Not good. I'm not in good shape.
But other than the bones, you're okay, right?
No.
No?
Well, my brain is all right. You know, I could still lie and make up things.
Well, do you ever have an? You're an idea guy. What's in your mind right now? What would you like to do to save this planet?
I would like to go to the race book. And I would like to make a trifecta. And I would like to collect $1,500.
There you go.
And you know why?
Why is that?
So the next day, I would have $1,500 to bet.
Well, you don't go to
and
the...
then if I won, then that week would be a good week.
Do you go to the track much anymore?
I go to the race book over here. With a bunch of old... Let me tell you, people, and I say this, forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, these are the nuttiest, meanest people in the world, people that play horses. I don't know why. As soon as they get through that gate, their personality changes, and they're all nasty.
I wonder what the reason for that is.
Well, they've already lost. Anybody who goes with that kind of gambling is already a loser. Like when I watch this in Vegas now, after I lost the kind of money I lost, I see these people gambling. I can't believe it. Why? It's too late for me to say why, you know.
You wonder. You wonder what it's all about. Do you still get calls to go out and do things, Shecky?
Yes.
And what do they say to you?
Well, the guy asked me the other day to get out of his restaurant.
No, do they call you to do things, like movies?
Yeah, they do.
And you say,
want me to go to work. I did a show at a place called the Smith Center. That was very good. And they want me to do a couple of shows, but I can't. Although I keep behind my wife's back, I rehearse a piano player, George.
Oh.
Yes.
See, that one.
I want to sing. I want to dance. I want to have myself romance. I want to take a chance on going to Ohio and working for those people and let them read my bio. I'll be okay. I want to say I just want to get paid the way I used to get paid. Okay.
See, we would have a lot of fun in Ohio. You should come. We don't have many steps.
Do me one favor. I asked you this before to get the name Dale Stitzel.
Dale Stitzel. Let me write that down. Dale.
And I was in the Navy, and I'm sure he's gone. Mm-hmm. But Dale Stitzel's family, if they can just send me a note or hello or something, because I love that man. He was good to me in the Navy.
And he was from Ohio.
He was from Ohio.
Now, when were you in the Navy?
I was in the Navy in 19, after my graduation, 44.
1944.
I was in the Pacific.
Ah. Now, what kind of experience was that?
I was aboard an aircraft carrier called a Bonham Richard CV-31 Essex-class carrier. 27,000 tons, 3,100-man complement. 7272791 was my serial number. Kellogg's K was my serial.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Now, the end result of our conversation today, what should be done about Roseanne? What should people help her, pity her, angry? There's all kinds of emotions flying around.
Let me tell you, people should write two letters. One if they want to write it nasty, and one forgiving. One nasty, one forgiving. Say, this is what I thought when I first heard that, but I really don't feel that way. You have a problem, and if they got a problem, we also got a problem. And a lot of the problem that these people got, they were listening to the Roseanne show.
But did she fall into a pattern? Even when she got success the first time, she was difficult to deal with.
Oh, That's what Arlene said. Arlene Rothberg.
Is it? But you never had that issue.
The what?
You never had an issue like that. You didn't want to be the boss.
No, I didn't want to be the boss. But when you work for nightclubs and nightclub owners, you know they're not sane. Who would own a nightclub? I mean, I had a guy pull a gun. No, a couple of guys pull guns on me. You know.
For what?
For what? Just threatening. Why did you say that? Why'd you do that? You know, I saw you look at that girl. You know, it's strange.
You know,
it's not exactly a happy business, nightclubs.
Well, is this the point, then, that all these people, Richard Pryor, Roseanne, Bill Cosby, that maybe it's the, is it the nightclub, the scenario that messes with them a little bit?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, it's not going to work at 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning. It's a strange life, you know, and I don't know, the things and the people we talked about, think about it, we're all strange. You know, it's a strange, like the kind of black kids you got on television today. Some are brilliant, and some are just want to get up there and say the words, you know.
Is there anything that you watch today that you like?
There's a kid called Iggy something, the fat kid, I don't know, black or Hawaiian or something. I like him. What's his name? I guess maybe you don't know.
No, Iggy. I can't think.
Iggy, or something like that.
Do you have a TV show that you watch every week?
No, I don't. I don't watch. Very rarely do I watch comedy.
Is it because you're a comedian? Do you analyze?
No, nothing to do. I'm just by that right now. It's just don't mean anything to me. There's much too many of them. It's. Like some of these girls, Schumer, I can't stand her, and I will say that to her face. Silverman, look at two Jewish girls I picked out.
You did, and Roseanne.
And Roseanne, yeah, I picked out three Jewish girls. Go to figure that up. That's why I married a Gentile. You know what I say? I married three Catholics, and somebody said, "Why didn't you ever marry a Jewish girl?" I said, "I wouldn't do this to a Jewish girl." Point to myself.
Shecky, in your best year, how many nights did you work a year?
Oh, I really don't know, Scott. I really don't know.
What? Tell me this.
Even in this town, I used to go, after I finished shows, I would go to other rooms and jump up on the stage.
Love to perform.
Yeah, well, I just did it, you know, because it was. And sometimes I'd get frightened to death to perform. I was a very complex human being. And my wife said, "You still are."
and before we wrap this up, you're gonna
wait. What? Just a minute. I don't understand you.
No, I said, "How long is this show?"
How long is the show?
How do you like that? Because I've been too long for her.
Okay.
Apologize to your wife.
Can I tell you, you were ready for you. You heard my next divorce. You're a witness.
Well, apologize to her for it.
Yeah, look at you became a witness, a Jehovah's Witness.
I did. Well, just think though, if Ed Sullivan and Hervé Villechaize were still alive, you three could go out on the road.
Could you see right here on show is a star of a wonderful show. What was the name of their show?
Fantasy Island.
Now I want to tell you something. He's really, really big now. This little fella is big now, and I'm Hervé Villechaize. Come on out and say hello to folks.
I went to tell you, Ed, I went, why do you have that little so-called Jojo? I can do the same thing he can, Ed. I want to be the mouse. Come on, Eddie, let me be the mouse.
Oh, Shecky Green, you're the best. Thank you so much for today, and I'm sure we will talk again soon. Thank
you. I love you very much, and I love Sean, and I love everybody in Ohio.
And we love you back. You have a great weekend.
All right, pal.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shecky Green, oh my God, what more could you say? For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
RTMechanicals.com.
Hi, I'm Angela Thomas with Marion Bell.